Let us come before the Lord, and if you have that unspoken request to have it, just that hand up and down as we come in front of God as we prepare ourselves. Father, hear us as we pray. Hear us, Father. We are coming to you praying. We're coming to you praising and shouting with joy, shouting in our pain and shouting in our happiness. We are blessed, Father, and we need to be forgiven. We need to repent and turn back. We need to beg off from this life this world has and remind ourselves how much we need your forgiveness. And so we're thankful of that as well, Father. And we're thankful for those, Father, who have given their lives in the service of the country, whether it ended on a battlefield somewhere or they still live here today, whether they saw active duty, they still support it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those who are still doing it. Thank you for teaching us the horror of war and showing us ways to end it. Pray that we continue to follow those teachings. Help heal those who are sick and distressed, Father. Help heal those who are in pain. Be with little Sarah. Little Sarah, little Mason, little Buck, the children when they hurt are the worst. Be with the Strait family. You've called out to Gene. And who knows? Maybe it's not over yet. Maybe there is a miracle waiting to happen. But be with Stephen and all the rest of the family. Father, we pray for those unable to be with us today that are kept away for whatever reason, that they would go and that they would come back safely. We pray for Gail as she travels up to storm-stricken New York City. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. We thank you, Father, for being there for us. We ask, Father, that you would hold us close as we pray the way your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power forever. Amen. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah, chapter 29. You know who Jeremiah was. He was a bullfrog, right? Jeremiah, chapter 29. And let's go ahead and stand when you get it for the reading of his word. Jeremiah chapter 29, we will start in the 8th verse and go through the 14th. Please join with me by standing for the reading of his word. I'll give you time, because I'm throwing you a curveball going that far back. Jeremiah 29, verses 8 through 14. Please join with me, follow along. Starting in the 8th verse. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty God of Israel says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. May God add his blessings to these words as we prepare for them. Let us set our hearts in motion. Pray with me. Father, Please strengthen us and give us the fortitude, if you will, to set aside our labors and focus wholly on your message today, from you to our ears, reminding us of who we are, what we are, and what we will be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 1972, NASA did something unheard of. They launched an interplanetary exploratory space probe called Pioneer 10. Now, Pioneer 10 had one primary mission. One. And that was to reach the planet Jupiter. That's all it had to do. It had to reach the planet Jupiter. It wanted to go there. They wanted to set it in an orbit around Jupiter to study its moons and to beam data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field. As we all full well know, Jupiter is what? That's the big planet. The great big one with the eye on it. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan in 1972. For at that time, no Earth satellite, none, had ever made it beyond Mars. None. And they feared that the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. They never expected it to work. So in 1972, and there's a model of it, it had a sister, a backup satellite, if you will, down at the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. I have seen it. The reason I have been there is because of why they have rockets and airplanes there. Need you ask more? They never thought it would make it that far, but they hoped it would. They wanted it to. Friends, when we were born, our hopes, our dreams were held in the hand of God. And He destined us to go as far as He would take us. So Pioneer 10 was looking around. For what? Well, it wasn't looking for intelligent life, because we know intelligent life was at the top of the Statue of Liberty, but that's another story. But it made it. It made it out there. It accomplished its mission. And guess what else? It went by that giant planet in November of 1973 and hung out for a while. It spent time around there. It immersed itself in the gravity. And as it got tighter and tighter to the planet, a most amazing and curious thing happened. First of all, it sent back tons of data. Tons of it. They couldn't believe what was coming from this thing that was not supposed to make it. And it got closer to the planet, and it swung around, and it swung around, and it swung around, and it kept going at a higher rate of speed. And then it happened. Old Pioneer 10 looked out at the NASA scientists and said, "It's not over." And the speed got it hurled away from Jupiter and on out into the solar system. Scientists were amazed. This little satellite was headed out into the great world. Now, I want you to understand how far it was. At 1 billion miles from Earth, that's billion with a B, this little satellite came up on, what's the next planet in line? Anybody remember? Of course not. Saturn. Uranus. Neptune. It kept on going. And in 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. It was as if to say, it is not over. Well, guess what happened? It kept sending data. They kept on. 1997, it was never supposed to make it that far, was still sending thoughts back from space. I'm sure one of them was, "Can I get a pizza delivered?" That would have been mine. Despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals. Perhaps the most remarkable, according to Leon Gerov, who was the leader of this mission, perhaps the most remarkable, those signals emanate from an 8-watt transmitter. Do you know how much 8 watts is? No? Maybe I am pretty smart. course, I read it. 8 watts is a less than the nightlight in your bathroom. That's a 25-watt bulb, right? 8 watts. It kept saying, it is not over, and it wasn't. In 1998, it continued to go further and continued to send back data. By now, it's reaching out toward the end of everything. The mission ended March 31st in 1997. NASA said, hey, thanks a lot. Pioneer 10 said, it is not over. And continued to transmit data in 1999, in a year 2000, in a year 2001. And now it had reached a distance of 67 AU from the sun. And I'm not going to break down to you the complex calculations, but that is billions and billions and billions of miles away. It is so far away from the sun at this point that the sun's light takes 15 hours to reach it. That's far away. And it still continued to transmit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It stuns everybody. Now, they give a whole great big long scientific diatribe as to why it was doing it. And of course, I could read it to you, and I'd put you to sleep faster than I normally do. And I did read it because it fascinates me when they start talking about Doppler effect and gravitational pull and magnetic this and generating that. I'm like, yeah. All right, never mind. It continued to be tracked. It was still tracked even after the mission was over in 1997. And then on April 27th, 2002, the signals started to get weak. They started to get dim. Finally, the very last signal was received. Are you ready? January 23rd, 2003. Now, I'm thinking that the signal that was received from that satellite, I should have gotten because it probably said, hey, Paul, you got twins on the way. Forget sleeping. It was 12 billion kilometers from Earth. Further attempts have been made. They were unsuccessful. The last attempt was made March 4th, 2006. That would have been the last time the antenna was correctly aligned with the Earth, but no response was received. And they haven't tried to reach out to it anymore until that little satellite said, it is not over. You see, that's where we're at, brothers and sisters. What God gave us was the beginning. It's not over. It'll never be over. And that's the thing we have to set our course on today. That's the thought that we have to put our mind at today. It's not over. On September 12, 2012, Pioneer 10 was now 106 AU, and that is something like 20 billion kilometers from the Earth. And guess what? It's still going. An 8-watt satellite is still rolling out. Pioneer 10 is headed in the direction of the constellation. Are you ready? Taurus. Out toward the bull. It's amazing to think about it. And they got a little blip, little teeny blip of a signal. But they know it's still there. And still going. If left undisturbed, it will leave the solar system to wander. Its trajectory, its direction, it's going to take it in the general direction of the star Aldebaran. It will require 2 million years to make it to that star. But that little satellite says, it is not over. That little satellite says at any time, and they're still listening to it. They're still watching. They're still sending out pulse signals every now and then because they don't know if that thing's actually done. That thing could get clean out there and send a signal back. Wouldn't that be amazing to wake up tomorrow morning and read the paper that an 8-watt satellite in 1972 done sent another signal back? Brothers and sisters, that's you. Lower lights. Thank you. I love you for that. That was her mother's favorite hymn, but it's one of my favorites. And I requested it. That little satellite that was not supposed to do what it did what it did and more. This is what we have when we offer ourselves to God. We need to come around to the understanding that guess what? It is not over. Now I know that on Tuesday, we all thought it was. We pretty much figured that the earth was going to stop in its orbit. The sun was going to fall from the sky. And we were disappointed by a lot of things. Sorry. But you know what? It is not over. It was not our decision to make that whatever happened on Tuesday happen the way it did. We wanted it. But God says, I have a bigger plan. If you go back to Jeremiah, how badly did they want out of captivity? I can talk to you about being a captive. I can talk to you about being held against my will because I spent an inordinate amount of time in detention. I know you find that hard to believe. I know what it meant, like, I'll never get out of here. And I love that I'd walk out the doors and say those words, I ain't never getting in trouble again. And the teacher would say, I'll see you tomorrow, Paul. Jeremiah is talking from God's words being given to him. In verse 10, he says, this is what the Lord says, when the 70 years are completed, I will come to you and I will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back. His will, His time, His place, He's saying to us, it is not over. And it's not. We thought it was. Oh, you didn't want to be around me Wednesday morning because I was in a foul mood. That's why I guess I got so mad and hurt my back. But I'm telling you, when the smoke cleared and when you began to think about it, it really is not over. We don't know what's else going on. You know what? You need to think about it from this way. I hate to tell you this, brothers and sisters, but your trials, your crossroads, your pain, your afflictions, everything that's pushing you down is not over. Sorry. I can't help that. That's part of what we get for living in sin. It doesn't end. Oh, my aching back. Oh. It doesn't end. All the headaches doesn't end. You know, the reason my arthritis doesn't end. My aggravation with work, it's not over. Why I can't do this. Why we're not getting here. Why it's not over. And it's not going to be ever. But our daily struggles, it hurts. It'll never stop. It can be lessened, it can be deadened, but it won't stop. As soon as one struggle is completed, we're given another one to start with. You felt that in your presence. You think you've got it. You think you've got it all figured out, and then God changes the game, doesn't He? Know why? Because He can. Because He knows what He's doing with us. He let me struggle on and on and on and on and on until I wound up here. He let each and every one of us struggle on and on and on until we wound up there begging, please save me. And the minute you got up from there, did the world stop? Did you get up and feel rose petals fall upon you? And you suddenly put your hand in your pocket and there was $100? No. God did not promise that the struggle would go away. He promised it would be easier. He promised, I will take care of you. He told Jeremiah, that, tell my people that when their time is up, I'll come get them and I'm going to do with them what's next. I have a promise for them. And here's the other thing. We're going to fail. We're going to fail each other. We're going to fail Him. I failed this week. I made mistakes this week that have got me absolutely wanting to bang my head on something yet again. How in the world did I do that yet again? Only there's not a building around tall enough to stand up to this hard head. Our actions, our thoughts, the words we use with people, we fail. When we should have said something nice, we said something smart. When we said something that we shouldn't have said, we tried to brush it away. When we acted a certain way, we deemed it necessary. And we knew full good and well it wasn't right. We cannot get away from the fact that we're going to fail. We cannot leave that behind. We cannot push it out of the way. You know why? Remember Peter? What did Jesus Christ tell him? You're going to fail me. No, I ain't. Yeah, you are. And yes, you did. So it is not over. Our struggles are not over. That's what's being written about here. Jeremiah's telling them, look, brothers and sisters, it's not over. It will be, but it's not. It's hard for me to talk about this sometimes. It's hard for me to admit when I fail. It's hard for me to admit that even though I'm the pastor at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren and trying every day with every effort I have to be a man of God, I fail. And do you know what? You can do two things when you fail. You can sit down and cry about it, or you can get down and pray about it. I pray. Crying ain't gonna do what? Save your crying for watching good movies. Or when you bring another tractor home. I got another one. This life is hard. And has become so because when we accepted Christ, Satan, who once had us locked up, who had us right there, who was just, now that you're lost to him and gained by Christ, he's throwing everything he has at you to destroy every step you take. He's giving you all kinds of temptations. He's putting you into situations, not him. He's putting you into situations which will make you say, it's over, I can't take anymore. It's not over. He's trying. I know he is. I know he's doing it to you. Every minute of every day, he is throwing everything at us. Imagine what it must have been like to be in captivity for 70 years, jerked out of your homeland. Think about that for a minute. Some people died, never seeing it again. Others were born in captivity and still never saw the homeland. It is not over. Suffering. Our pain, our weakness, our suffering does not end here. Notice I said that. Let me say it again. Our pain, our weakness, our trials, our tribulations, our suffering does not end here. And we suffer. That's a strange word, isn't it? You wonder how some people suffer? Sometimes we cry about it, sometimes we don't. Think about how Christ suffered. He didn't cry out. I'm reminded of a story about a monk who had been called upon on the carpet to baptize a great king. And the monk went through the ritual and had his robes on and he had his staff. And when he came to the part where he would begin reading the ritual, as he approached the king and he put his staff down, his staff, which was unusually pointed on the end, pierced the king's foot. But the monk didn't know it. The king did. And as he went on, of course, he probably pressed down a little harder. And he went on through the whole ritual. And when the prayer was finished, he looked down at his staff and saw where it was on the king's foot and saw the blood and became very scared. And he said unto the king, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And the king said to him, I thought this suffrage was part of the ritual, so I endured it. Amen. Amen. That's us. Suffering. Why? Because Christ did. I'm listening to the book on tape from Beth Moore, and she made a comment on there, which she kind of was right. I'm pretty good at it, but today I'm going to be better at it. She said, you know, too many times we forget to be lifted up. Pastors get up there on Sunday morning, and when they let loose, they beat and bang and pound and beat and bang and pound. And in the last 2 minutes of the sermon, then they try to make everything feel better. Well, we've still got another hour to go, so I'm going to talk about how you can feel better. And I'm going to break the rules. So get ready for it. I'm not supposed to do what I'm about to do, but I don't care because for me, it is not over. I want to tell you what the Bible says in multiple verses about why it is not over and what is coming. If you want to follow along, I'll try to go a little slow. Starting in Habakkuk chapter 2. You should have marked your Bibles already. You can keep up with me. Two simple verses. We already heard in Jeremiah that the Lord said, I will come according to my plans. So we need to have what? Right. Habakkuk chapter 2, second and third verse. Then the Lord replied. And I love how he says this because he's being kind of funny. If you can read the humor into it. And Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist, said, I can be humorous in my sermons, and so I will. Man. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. You want the translation into simple terms? I want you to get a piece of paper as long as this wall, and I want you to write it down in great big letters so that these hard-headed people can understand it, so that when somebody's walking along with it, they've got the time to read it. I will come when it's time. Wait for it. Be patient. It is not over. I love those two verses. That's what he says right there. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. That's kind of him being funny. In my opinion. Patience. We have to have patience because it is not over. Next, we have to have courage. Isaiah chapter 41. I told you you're going to roll around with me. This keeps you awake because everybody's grabbing for their Bibles going, what did he say, Mildred? I don't know. Just look down. It'll look like we're doing something. Isaiah chapter 41, 9th and 10th verse. I love it. Listen to these words. They are powerful. They are talking about what God has done with you, for you. 9th verse, Isaiah chapter 41. I took you from the ends of the earth. From the furthest corners I have called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Listen careful. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah! Take courage. Have the heart. That's beautiful. He called you from the furthest corner that you could possibly be in sin. He looked down and he said, hey, I love you. I saved you. Don't worry about it. Though it is not over, have the courage to wait for it. Third point, Psalm chapter 22, a singular verse. Psalm chapter 22, verse 24. We will be delivered. We will be lifted up. We will be taken out. Because what does the psalmist writer say in this verse? Listen. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry from help. In verse 24, do you know who he's talking about? Jesus. And if he's talking about Jesus in that way, the psalmist writer is showing you that if you cry out, you are not hidden from him. Though it is not over, we've got the patience. We know that he will help us, and we now know that he hears us. Three. And number four. Romans chapter 5. Isn't this fun? Tiptoeing around through the Bible. I love doing this. And in case you're wondering, this is how I wander around through God's Word. I don't take it in structure because it's not meant to be. It's meant to be a big area that you just wander through and accept and love and soak up. Romans chapter 5, verses 3, verses 4. Paul, writing in his letter to the Romans, has these words in the third verse. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. What do you mean? I got a hurt back because I was showing off at work. I'm supposed to be thankful of that? Yeah, you can be thankful that you're walking upright. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Woohoo! 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, have what? Patience. Number two, have what? Courage. Number three, do what? Believe. Number four, hold on. It is not over. You know what? The pain, the suffering, the trials, the afflictions, the tribulations, they're not over. But guess what else is not? God's love. It's not over. It'll never be over. Here or there. That's how we approach things that we don't see an end in sight. That's how we approach things that look like it is painful. We look at things the wrong way sometimes. It is not over. Your pain, your suffering is not over. But the beauty and glory of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ is not over either. We are not done here. Our suffering, our work is still going. And more important, it's not over for us from God's love for His treasure. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writing in that beautiful last chapter that kills me to read. But now I start to see it more. Says these words, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the mist. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am being already poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for His appearance. Amen! That's it. It's not over. Oh, we got to suffer. But we get this. That's what you walk out of here with today. That's what you get. We get to keep working for God and for Jesus until we get to go and be home with Him. And then, the pain is over. But the treasure will never be. I don't care what happened this past Tuesday. So a bunch of idiots got what they wanted. What do you care? You keep doing what Paul says. You keep ministering. You keep preaching. You stay the course. You listen to the sound doctrine. You take this book that has never, ever, 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 nope, never been wrong. Never. And you put it here. Hide it in your heart that you will not sin against him. And when somebody says, well, don't pay attention to him. Stay here in his word. I believe you, me, brothers and sisters. The amount of blessings, it is not over. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, be upon us now. Teach us what is and what ain't. We know that we suffer. We know that we hurt. We know that sometimes we can't get why. But your word, Father, your word teaches us. Your Son taught us. Your Holy Spirit fills us. And while we know it is not over pain and suffering, the aggravations of this body and the world and everything that goes with it, that one day we will be done and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That part is over. Now come and rest. Oh, how beautiful. Strengthen us, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you have a particular need, if you need that strengthening, if you just need the power that resides up here to just immerse yourself in prayer, come forward and pray. You don't have to have a reason. If you need my help, you ask me. If you don't know Christ, if you need that strengthening, I stand here ready to serve you. And we call as we sing this last hymn.